Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Okay, so welcome back to Project Independence and You at WCWP.org. And we have been talking with Maura Calio. And boy, we really, time flew, and we have a lot of questions. Before the break, we were talking about the relationship, I guess, of obesity and diabetes to heart disease.
Well, and the ability to, how do you get somebody who, I believe, most people who are obese know they're obese. So now what? You know, because it's they're going down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. How can people stop being in that category? What can they do about it? Because I think it's a major link to heart disease. Although thin people get heart attacks and strokes as
well. Correct, but more often obese people do.
Yeah, or smokers.
Yeah. I want to just backtrack a little bit by thin people have heart attacks. The one thing, one of the things that you can't really change is a person's genetic history. So if there's a genetic risk of heart disease, that is a known, and that gets taken into consideration of when to do the earliest screening of mm-hmm. a person that has that risk.
Makes sense.
So, and then to follow up on your, we were chatting during the break about the kind of the relationship of smoking and obesity, and that both of them should really be viewed as an addiction that should be dealt with in a very structured way, that people can be referred for counseling, they can be referred for programs, like at the DeMatta Center, we do have treatment for both of those. We have mm-hmm. a weight management center, and I facilitate the Stop Smoking program, as a matter of fact. And I've learned so much in the last 3 years doing that program, really mm-hmm. understanding addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when people are given tools and supports, they're more likely to be successful. If you go for your appointment and same old story, the doctor says you're overweight, you need to do something about it. There are some people that are disciplined enough to do that, but the majority are not, and they need a little bit more. And there are programs, lectures, different kinds of groups that you can go to get that. But to just send somebody on their way and tell them you need to
lose
50 pounds, we like to keep goals attainable so that, say somebody has diabetes and they are overweight, even 5% of their body weight decrease can greatly affect how well their diabetes is controlled. Mm-hmm. So they start to see if they're involved in their own care and they're getting their blood checked or checking it themselves for their sugar level, and they can see the results, it's taking ownership.
Right.
When
right.
somebody doesn't, they go to the doctor, oh, you know, it's the same old story. Nothing's really going to change.
You know what's interesting? I mean, normally you have like smoking-related, people think, oh, smoking causes cancer, but yet it also causes heart disease because there's so much in the media and everything about, you know, smoking and lung cancer and
yeah.
smoking and throat cancer and tongue cancer and all this, but it really also, I mean, some people don't get cancer, but they can get heart disease. So
yeah, well, what happens when you smoke a cigarette is the blood vessels constrict, leading to less blood and oxygen getting to the heart muscle. So if you hit, usually you don't just have one risk factor. You might have high cholesterol, you might have diabetes, you might be a smoker. And all those things together are yeah. not just triple risk. They're much more than that.
Right.
So when I see people in my Stop Smoking program, oftentimes what's brought them to me is a hospitalization. That they say, oh, it's finally caught up with me. Mm. So for years, people have been, they know that it's not good to smoke. Their doctor's been telling them for years, and they go, you know, you're going to quit smoking? Yeah, I'm going to try. But unless they go to a place where they get the tools to be successful, they are often not. Maybe 5% of the people who try to quit smoking on their own. So just offering them the patch or a prescription
right.
without the tools, they have to repattern their whole lives. Some of these people are 50-year smokers. So every minute of their day is associated with having a cigarette. So how do you untangle that?
Right.
So they need to do the work of planning for success.
What? Let me ask you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you're smiling, but no, the question
hard to
would
do.
Be,
she knows everything.
How successful is it when somebody does go to a program as compared to not going to a program?
Which problem?
Smoking.
Smoking. I don't have percentages because my attendance at these programs are fairly small groups.
Right.
So say in a group, and smokers tend to chicken out at the last minute, but we have successes in every single group. So rather than, I don't even like to talk about the ones that don't come back. I tell them from the very beginning, there is no shame. This is a problem that you may need repeated help with. And every time you try to quit, it's practice for the next time you try to quit, and you'll get it. So we try to build their confidence in it. But mm-hmm. People do have more success when they also use either the nicotine patches or one of the prescription medications. And we educate them in the very first class about what the options are, and then they talk to their doctor. That helps because it helps decrease the craving while they're repatterning their whole day. You know, if somebody is used to getting up and the first thing they do is light up a cigarette, that's a hard thing. They have to decide, what different am I going to do when I get out of bed in the morning? And that carries through the entire day. So it's a lot of work for them. Some of them decide, I just can't do this. And then they come back when they're ready.
I mean, this could be a whole show by itself.
Yeah.
That's absolutely.
You know, people in my era, my generation, smoked, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky. I was like 13. I tried a cigarette, I puffed on it, it burned my throat, and I said, if this is fun, skip me, I'm not doing
right.
it. But I was lucky.
Yes.
I know a lot of people who were in my bracket who've been smoking since they're like that age, and they're not going to stop. But the thing that I have a problem with is young people still smoke, and they know a lot more than my generations knew about smoking, you know.
Okay, what's happening with the young people is that the tobacco industry was very smart. Once smoking started to decline, they figured out a way to market smoking products to the youth by coming out with electronic products and vaping products. It is epidemic. The middle schools and the high schools are frantic because the kids are vaping everywhere because it doesn't have the odor that a cigarette has. And they can go in a corner, the teacher can turn their back, and they pull out their vape, and they're vaping. And they're becoming so addicted, their little device, whether it's a Juul or whether it looks like a USB, they're very easy to hide, are under their pillows because they can't make it through the night without vaping.
Really?
So
wow.
It's becoming, they're so addicted that the parents don't know what to do.
Mm.
And this was 3 to 5 years in the making. I talked about this with some, I go to SUNY Old Westbury and do a class for a friend of mine who's a math professor, and she teaches quantitative math. So I come in and talk about smoking by the numbers just to make it a math class. And it's very enlightening. Some of these kids come like, oh, I had no idea how bad it was for you. So that is another whole topic.
I mean, it is a whole.
And it is.
That's
why.
They don't know yet that they are human beings when they're teenagers and that they're going to be in the category of heart diseases and whatnot.
Well, the misnomer is that vaping's safe, is that you're not taking in smoke. You're not.
It's just water, after all.
It's really brilliant what they did.
But there's nicotine in there, too.
And now we are.
They can either be nicotine or flavors, and the flavored products are harmful because of the additives that they're putting in there. The nicotine is harmful because the human brain doesn't finish developing till around the age of 25. So if you have 13-year-olds vaping all day, it's causing all these wiring disconnects. So they're seeing a lot of attention deficit disorder in the young kids that are vaping.
I mean, they blow smoke out through their nose, like, you know.
So we don't, early to know the long-term effects of what that will do in 10 years.
But we know the short-term is not good.
We know the short-term. So there are enough warning signs, but kids think they're invincible.
Yeah.
So this is, like you said, a whole nother show, Christina. We got to do that. But we have about 4 minutes left. And I know that you had this, you know, you have this outline, and I do want to go through it because I think one of the important things here is this 7 steps to reduce risk of heart disease. So
Just a quick comment.
Sure.
That would that also include stroke?
Right.
You know, like is stroke considered?
Yes, it's all cardiovascular disease. That's the big umbrella.
On the heart disease.
The conditions, the risk factors that lead to heart disease also lead to stroke.
Okay.
Very
so
good
what
question.
We're talking
Thank
about
you.
Here
right.
is also
yes.
your ability to minimize your chances of getting a stroke.
Right.
Of both, yes. Or, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so next time you're on, we have like an hour show for you, so we could go over everything. 7 steps to reducing risk of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And are they the same both for women and men?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, getting active. Get up out of the chair. I'm fairly lazy, so I have a walking buddy who mm-hmm. I think stalks me when I pull into my driveway. She texts me to go for a walk. I never say no. That's my rule, because if it was up to me, I'd be going upstairs, putting the television. I'm tired. I just got home. So active. Controlling your cholesterol. So, yes, there are eating healthy. If your doctor has prescribed cholesterol medicine, make sure you understand why that doctor wants you to be on cholesterol medicine. Don't just mm-hmm. decide on your own to stop. Eating healthy, more of the vegetables should take up half your plate, a quarter of the plate of grains, a quarter of the plate of protein. Not smoking, seeking help to quit if you do. Controlling blood pressure, which may involve medicine. People say, I don't want to take a medicine. Well, it's better than having a stroke.
Right.
So controlling your blood pressure, which also involves limiting salt intake. Losing weight always is advantageous, especially as we get older and our metabolisms slow down. And reducing blood sugar, making sure that you're being screened for diabetes and pre-diabetes. That's another whole topic, is pre-diabetes.
Got that, Christina?
Sorry. So those are the 7 steps.
Okay.
I got one for, and in there, like I have a Fitbit, all right? So it, yeah. So it,
we all do. We're all know. Showing each other our Fitbits.
Yeah,
you can't
right.
see that on radio.
So part of the Fitbit is it gives you your heart rate at rest.
You have a deluxe model. I don't have that.
Well, yeah. Well, this fancy. One does. It tells you your heart rate.
Yes.
I didn't really think much of that, but I take blood pressure medication.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, my BPM was in the 40s, and I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the doctor,
mm-hmm.
and that's too low.
Yes.
You know, so the point I'm getting at is there's really nothing wrong with having one of these Fitbits
right.
for sort of a health monitor, if you will.
Right. Some of the blood pressure medicines also slow the heart rate, so that information is important so that they can adjust.
Well, they did.
Right.
They cut
adjust
my
the dose.
One
mm-hmm.
in half,
yep.
you know, and it
mm-hmm.
helped. Now so,
yeah.
I'm like 52 or whatever.
We have like 40 seconds left, but that's a really good point you pointed out, because of the Fitbit, you saw a red flag and you called your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I mean, and that's really important. Maura, we'll definitely have to have you back. There's so many topics, so many related topics, and we're very grateful that you come, and we do hope that you'll come back soon, and maybe pretty soon, because that's a lot to discuss. So we will be back after a short break with our next guest.